Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
Hey, beautiful Arizona, Saturday morning to you all. If you're waking up 112 years ago, we're looking for something to do. You could head on over to the Prescott Courthouse to see the unveiling of the Rough Rider Monument. The rider is Captain Bucky O'Neill and the gentleman responsible for recruiting over half of Arizona's Rough Riders. The monument's been at Courthouse Square now still to this day, 112 years later. Prescott's our featured staycation destination this month, and we'll be all month long, and we'll bring you bits and pieces in history and trivia. There's other things going on in the Valley today. You have the World of Illumination. I hear that's a wonderful event if you have kids. They've got one in Tempe and one in Glendale. Our Janice from the office has taken her grandkids every year and say it's now a must-go regular tradition. You also have the 11th Annual Grand Canyon Celebration of Art. They encourage artists to come up and do color paintings of the Grand Canyon. I will say, after these storms, I bet you get some good colors and man. The sunset. And just a little bit over the Grand Canyon, out of the state of Arizona into Nevada, we've got championship round going on today, round number 10 of the National Finals Rodeo. And we thought it'd be a fun topic to cover. And how do you tie a National Finals Rodeo to Arizona? Well, let's cover the history of Arizona contestants that have been at the National Finals Rodeo. And we've brought in two-time NFR qualifier Nick Sarchet to talk to us about championship round today.
Doesn't get any better than this. Saturday night at NFR, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's a pretty special event. I know all 118 contestants probably didn't get much sleep last night thinking about it. So it's been a great day.
And you say 118. We've got two that are knocked out.
I had a couple injuries. Bull rider with a major concussion, and then a bareback rider with a torn hamstring.
10 days of... in a row, that's a lot to
that's lot hard to on the body, especially if you're riding rough stock, for sure.
The physical is a lot to it, but the mental aspect, you were talking last night how Joe Beaver, one of the announcers, was saying, you know, you just got to make it past this ninth round. There's something about the ninth round.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of pressure leading up at the very beginning of the week. You know, everybody's going in there with the same attitude. They want to win a world championship, and they want to do good. And as the week progresses and consistency, or if you're having a good week, it's going great. If a bad week, you're fighting your head, and you're trying to come out of your little slump and progress. And then when you get to the ninth round, if you're in the top two or three or four and have a chance of winning the average or a chance of winning the world, there's a lot of pressure added up, and you see who rises to the cream always rises to the crop, so or top.
So what these rodeo events, and we'll go through what each of them are in a moment, but the longest run, hopefully, you know, you're looking for runs 8 seconds in the bull riding or saddle bronc riding or bareback riding. For the Cowboys, that's as long as you want to be. When you're looking at the steer wrestling and you know, the tie-down roping and the team roping, you want to be under 8 seconds to be competitive. In the barrel racing, you want to be under 14 or 13, 5 maybe. I mean, what do you do with the other 23 hours, 59 minutes, and 45 seconds of the day?
Well, you're either celebrating or beating your head against a wall, I think. I don't know.
That's so much time to psych yourself out.
There's a lot of downtime, but the key is to not get too high, not get too low. You're always going to have ups and downs in rodeo. There's so many variables in every single sport, and there's so many variables in every single event in rodeo. So you take care of your horse, you take care of you take care of your family, and you just try to prepare the best you can for the next night, whether you do good or bad.
And what does it take to qualify for this event to begin with?
Oh, it takes 365 days a year practicing, family behind you, friends behind you. Lots of travel, lots of sleepless nights driving from one rodeo to the next, and it just takes a lot of dedication. It really does.
And how do they pick which contestants come into each event?
Well, they take the top 15 money earners throughout the physical year of the rodeo season. So I think it starts September 1st, I believe, from the 2020 season has already started, actually. So from 2019, September 1st, all the way around to, you know, the end of August, you were just going full bore trying to make the NFR in December.
Now, do any of my Vegas earnings this year count to that 2020?
No. Unfortunately for a lot of those, no. And fortunately for a lot, no.
No.
So, no, they all start scratch, and this is the Super Bowl of rodeo by far. It's compared to that, and it really is. You know, the money has consistently got better for these contestants to win, you know, 10 days of riding a bareback horse. The guys can win $200,000 in 10 days. That's just miraculous.
And looking at the last published stats, 2018, there were 644 sanctioned events. 14 of those were in Arizona, and they go from Prescott, Yuma, Tucson, Buckeye, Fort Mojave, Scottsdale. That would be your Prado del Sol, I would think, at the turn of the year. Queen Creek, Cave Creek, Payson, Flagstaff, Prescott, that's your July 4th, Winslow, Payson again, and then Kingman. So you've got 14 opportunities just in Arizona to compete to get into that top 15.
Oh, for sure.
But that's 14 of 644 across the country in Canada.
Yes, it's a lot of travel. If you have the aspirations to be at the NFR, excuse me, you have to go to 100 rodeos a year, you know, and some people, obviously, if you have great winters, the winter rodeos are real big, Fort Worth, San Antonio, Houston, rodeos like that, they pay so much more. So if you win one of those, you have a big head start.
And the location of those has got to be very strategic, because if you've got to hit 100 a year, you know, it's one every 3 days, you can't get from you can't go Arizona, Wyoming, and then Texas as your next three. You've got to follow and be very strategic in your travel path.
Oh, correct. You know, it's funny you say that, because in the beginning, start out the winter rodeos, you know, Denver, Odessa, Fort Worth, Houston, all the winter rodeos start around Texas. And as the year progresses, they move towards California, Arizona, and in the spring. Summer is all over the Northwest and the Midwest. And then, of course, go into fall, they're scattered. And so at the end of the year, when guys are chasing the top 15, you might go from San Francisco to Casper, Wyoming, to Pasco, Washington, and down to Texas. So at the beginning, they're all joined together to where it strategically and geographically makes sense. But as the year progresses, your people are scattering and going to different places.
And then they decided to make it even harder and have the Super Bowl in an arena half the size of the rest of the ones they compete in.
That is for sure. Yeah, that's for sure. Because you go through all different types of setups, and people look at, you know, armchair quarterbacks watching it on TV, and they don't realize, if you've never been inside that arena, it is tiny and tiny. So there's not a lot of room for mistakes, especially in the tiny events. The rough stock events, most of them actually like a small arena, because it allows the bucking stock to perform without in a huge open area.
Instead of just taking the time to prance all the way around the arena, they've got a tighter area, so it encourages them to buck harder.
Yes, exactly. And it's better
for
the
fans. So that's why you see so many higher rough stock rides in that arena?
Well, not only that, but they take the top stock across the country. Every stock contractor in the United States and Canada, all the cowboys actually vote to see which stock gets to come to the NFR. And so these people ride these horses and get on different bulls throughout the year, and they're basically going on notoriety and consistency. So they get to vote on what horses, what bulls get to go to the NFR.
Now we've got 7 events, 6 for cowboys, 1 for cowgirls, the barrel racing. Goat tying and breakaway have become very popular among cowgirls. Are we going to ever see either of those get introduced to the NFR?
It's funny, because the breakaway is a very, very hot topic. It's had a resurgence, and it's an amazing sport for the ladies. And it's been going on for years in the WPRA, and it's really gaining momentum. They're having a multiple large rodeos already this year, so I don't know about the goat tying, and that's first I've heard of that, but the breakaway, I would not doubt to see it in the next 5 years at the NFR.
I think that would probably be the best thing that they could do. How do you make this event any bigger? Well, instead of just having one event for the women, open it up to two or three more. You can't add any more men's events to it. Why not open it up for more cowgirls?
Right, right. And it's got a lot of traction. There's so many ladies across the country, and there's no – I'm not sure about the age, but I think maybe 18 years old or older – you can compete at a professional rodeo. And I may be wrong there, but it's just amazing what they did at Cheyenne this year with the breakaway, and they're having it at Fort Worth. I mean, it's just amazing.
Now, to compete in a PRC event, can I just go sign up? I know there's members and there's permit holders. How do you even get started attending one of those?
You have to be, first of all, 18 years old, and then you buy a permit, and then you have to win X amount of money. I think it's $2,500 in a PRCA-sanctioned event. And then once you do that, you can have the option of staying on your permit and just rodeoing throughout the year, or you can go ahead and buy your PRCA membership and buy a card, and then you are a full-fledged member.
And those full-fledged members, it's those top 15 money earners that go to the NFR at the end of the year.
Yes, for sure.
So it's $2,500 to go from a permit holder. What's the benefit of just staying a permit holder versus going a full member?
It just depends, because if you want to, like, the Rookie of the Year awards are a huge accomplishment. So if you buy your permit, say, later in the year, and you're only going to go to 10 rodeos, you're not going to win Rookie of the Year. So if you don't care about Rookie of the Year, buy your card, you're a PRCA member. When I was a rookie, I wanted to win Rookie of the Year. So I waited. I, in fact, bought my permit in August, filled it right away, but I did not buy my card until the following year. So, because I wanted to try to pursue
a full year to win that award.
I wanted a full year's chance to try to win the Rookie of the Year. So,
more with two-time NFR qualifier Nick Sarche horsing around after this.